Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland, trying to get blinded by the sun, and behind me is the Emperor of Karl von Habsburg, the blessed Karl, the last Emperor of Austria-Hungary. Now, that wasn't quite his title, you know, he's Apostolic King of Hungary, King of Bohemia, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what about him? So he was born in 1887 in Vienna, and the Habsburg dynasty, they'd come from Switzerland many centuries ago, Habichtsburg, the Hawk's Castle. They'd been Grand Dukes of Austria, well, Dukes of Austria certainly since the late 12th century, and there was obviously an elected Holy Roman Emperor. They managed to get elected. There are only about seven electors, like the Elector of Hanover and so on, various archbishops. But they managed to have it in their family for centuries. Strictly speaking, it wasn't hereditary, but they controlled the election. It became de facto hereditary. And then that was abolished by Napoleon after the Battle of Austerlitz, it was 1805, at that Treaty of Pressburg, which is now Bratislava, Slovakia, the Holy Roman Emperor was abolished. Nevertheless, the Habsburgs still rule much of Central Europe, not just what we call Austria and Hungary, but also Slovakia, Czechia, southern Poland, Transylvania, that's now part of Romania, western Ukraine, some of northern Italy, Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and at one stage some of Serbia, and so on. But they were gradually losing in the late 19th century. So he's born in 1887, and then there was his granduncle, Franz Josef, born 1830, who came to the throne in 1848 after the revolution, the overthrow of Ferdinand, who was mentally defective. But Franz Josef's son, Rudolf, committed suicide at Meierling because he wasn't allowed to marry his mistress. He was unhappily married in a dynastic marriage, and rather than keep this teenage girl as his paramour, he ended his life. So that was suicide. Of course, I tried to cover that up because there was automatic excommunication. So Franz Josef had no surviving son. It's meant to be his nephew, Franz Ferdinand, who was next, who was married to Countess Sophie Chotek, a morganatic marriage to this Czech lady who wasn't grand enough because they were super snobby. So therefore, her children were excluded from succession, and she and her husband were assassinated on the 28th of June, 1914 at Sarajevo, and she was pregnant at the time. Their four surviving children couldn't inherit the throne. So him, the grandnephew, after his granduncle died in November 1916, he became Emperor of Austria-Hungary. So, you know, a soft-spoken, mild-mannered, maybe ineffectual man, and through one of his Belgian cousins, opened secret negotiations with the Allies. Could there be a separate peace? Germany had gone to war to bail them out, the Austro-Hungarians, but the German intelligence found out about it. Could Austria-Hungary trying to pull out of the war? Could they cede some land, pay some reparations, and not have a complete cataclysm? But they left it too late. They weren't willing to make sufficient concessions, and they collapsed. 14th of November 1918, they signed the armistice with the Allies, having to give away lots of land by this time. Czechoslovak Legion fighting for France and Russia and so on had ensured that the Allies recognized independent Czechoslovakia. And Thomas Garrigue Masaryk had convinced President Wilson of the righteousness of his cause, and that was it. So proclamations of independence, that Poland would be independent, taking some of Austrian territory, Romania was going to gain land, all the former allied countries were going to gain territory, and Austria-Hungary were going to be separated into Austrian-Hungary, Anschluss prevented, big reparations, the army hugely reduced, loss of their coastline, all that. So Austro-Hungarian Empire lost about 90% of its territory, became a head without a body. He had to abdicate to renounce the crown and his successors forever. So he went into exile initially in the Helvetian Confederation and later here in Madeira. He had made two attempts to stage a comeback in 1920, both in Hungary, not in Austria. I'm not quite sure why. January and then again November that year, showing up and some people swearing fealty to him. And even though they had Admiral Horthy Miklós, who was there keeping the throne warm for him, who was a regent, not actually a king or a president or something like that, the sailor without a sea for a kingdom without a king. But somehow this didn't take off. Of course, there were leftists who were against him. Remember, the communists had taken over Hungary briefly in 1919 for about 6 months, the Red Terror followed by the White Terror. Anyway, so he wasn't accepted and had moved to Madeira, Portugal, a former allied country, an enemy of his, of course, in the First World War. But I mean, Portugal was so far from Austria, there was no fighting between Austrians and Portuguese, and was an intensely religious man, lived out his life here, and died on April Fool's Day, 1922, at the age of only 35, survived by a few children. And then there was Otto, his son, who kept the or Habsburg cause going. I think it wasn't trying to attempt restoration. Was later elected to the European Parliament for Bavaria. Died in 2011. That summer, that July. I remember I was in Forte dei Marmi, Italy at the time, and his funeral at St. Stephen's Dom in Vienna, when they sang God Erhalte, God Beschütze, Franz den Kaiser, or whatever it is, the old Austro-Hungarian anthem. So that was him, and he was fluent in a number of languages, he'd be very good at Latin as well, had about 7 forenames. And his son, Otto, likewise, had to learn all sorts of languages, because when his son was born during the First World War, it was assumed the dynasty would be going for a long time, would have to speak to many people and have about a dozen forenames. And that's the church where he rests forever. Look at the image of the Blessed Virgin with the infant Jesus. Okay, so this is built in 1818 to replace the earlier 16th century church on the mountain. Very, very steep, high above the Atlantic, looking right down here. And any higher be scarcely possible to build. Becoming almost alpine up here, although these gorgeous subtropical gardens. But it's almost, are they fir trees higher up? You see, it's not the highest point. There are some mountains even higher in Madeira. All right, anyway, thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Do what you can to work for the restoration of the Habsburg dynasty. I'm not bating my breath. And look at these Ukrainian flags. Or some of what was a Ukraine... later became, some of what was the Austro-Hungary later became Ukraine, like Lviv and so on, Lemberg. Well, that's why they're Ukrainian Catholics. Doesn't mean Roman Catholics of the Ukrainian nationality. It means when in the 18th century, when Orthodox Christians were going to be discriminated against, so some of the Orthodox Ukraine decided that they would conform themselves to Catholicism. The Pope would be the head of their church, but apart from that, continued Orthodoxy, and the Catholic Church accepted that they could have, Eastern Rite, but Catholic theology and so forth. Likewise, Greek Catholics. Doesn't mean Roman Catholics are the Greek nationality. They're particularly a subset of Catholicism. Yes, they recognize the papacy, but apart from that, they practice Orthodox Christianity. All right, that's enough from me. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com, and come to Madeira for a holiday. Toodaloo.